The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to the Absolutely Not Podcast, where we do the most and the least at the same damn time. I'm your host, Heather McMahon. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Absolutely Not Podcast. Y'all, I'm just going to jump right in. I'm with the one and only iconic Hannah. Hannah, we have to talk because
you're talking like I'm like Cher, just one name.
Hannah. Hannah. Hannah Murner, but I only call it just Hannah. Hannah, I owe you an apology. Okay. We have been trying to get together for no less than 4 years. I lived in New York, then I went on tour, then the pandemic hit, then I left New York, and then you blew up, you started fucking touring, and we are like two ships passing in the night, and finally, I was able to get you in the studio after you shot your first Netflix special this weekend. We're going to talk about everything, but I want to publicly apologize to you because I have adored you. We have been friends online for so fucking long, and somehow we are now 8 years later getting to sit down and chit-chat.
I think it was like out of respect for each other that we're like, you know, she's working. I don't want to bother her right now. She's in the zone. But I knew that when the time was right, we were going to come together.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've been admiring you forever. And we actually podcasted with Taylor Strucker.
We
like
did.
6 years ago.
But we did. No, but it was on her radio show.
On her radio show.
That's how we met.
And I had to then go to my 9 to 5 and you guys went to get mimosas. And I was like really jealous because I was like, they're so fucking fun. And like, they get to just do their art. Anyway, I've been a fan of yours for fucking ever. And
I love you.
Seeing you, you're like paving the way for so many female comics.
I do not give me that much credit.
No, let me give it. And also, I wore leopard today in honor of you.
My queen, I did not. I wore a sensible cashmere.
I know she comes,
crew.
She's suddenly like old money. And I look, you know, like I'm in a
wait,
like
show everybody
nail salon.
Real quick. She's got on platform Crocs with fur.
Platform Crocs with fur. Yeah. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
No, I love it. Are you kidding me? I think it's chic. If you're going to go, you got to go. You got to lean in.
Look, I'm about comfort.
Yeah.
And when I'm not on stage having to perform, I want to feel like I'm floating.
Yeah. I feel you. And you always look so effortlessly like cool Gen Z, and you're not, you're my age, but like cool Gen Z,
I am.
A straight jean and like a crop top, like you're effortlessly chic. Mm-hmm. I have to wear a fucking uniform. Like I am going to war every fucking day. I pick out a new colored glitter suit. I wear my boots. I do my leg loop. I have my little routine. And then I go out there and let it rip.
So people don't talk about this enough.
No, they
which
don't.
Which is, male comics can just dress like school shooters. And everyone's like, this is art. This is high art.
Yep.
Where when we go on stage, people have a lot of opinions of our outfits.
Uh-huh.
And recently, like, I had to get a stylist for the Netflix special, as you have to do for these events and these gigs. But, like, it's not just looking hot. You have to be comfortable at every angle.
Yeah.
You're running around because we're, you know, we're very physical comedians. Mm-hmm. We're doing full athletic work on stage. Jump in, pounce in. You're doing splits.
Yeah, all
so,
of it.
So, like, it's so interesting, like the outfit we have to find. And I actually had this Amazon black dress that I used to be my outfit, like my Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Where it was like you could bloat in it. It looked like I was like 3 months pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And it was just a baby doll dress. And then I wear boots. And my friends burned it. Like they were like, you're done. And I was like, no, but like this is going to add so much stress to my life. So I'm still in a journey of finding like what's comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
And some nights, like I remember I wore this dress. And I was so bloated because I had a fried chicken sandwich in between shows. Because
that's the only thing I eat backstage.
Because I'm not going to have one bite of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Human. So then I'm like, I'm going to throw a blazer on.
Right.
And then I posted a clip and everyone's like, this blazer doesn't match your dress. And I'm like, I was holding in like so many gas bubbles in that moment. And when you perform, people are just staring at your pussy.
They're literally in my crotch.
In your labia.
I'm sitting on everyone's face on the front row. Every time I'm out there, I'm like.
For them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, people don't realize, and they're very quick to say, you know, and they're very quick to like comment on your body. Like, I love it when you're like, oh, great legs. I'm like, that's the one thing I have going for me. So like, let's lean in.
Yes.
But there are days.
It's funny that I love that people compliment your legs because I've discovered that my knees look like Voldemort, apparently.
Ooh, okay. Let's discuss. Are we getting loose skin at the top or
what's
the vibe?
I guess your legs are not, when you stand straight, you're not allowed to have folds, which I thought was just. Like, I'm like, if you can't handle folds in my knees, how are you going to handle my pussy? And I'm just very, there's things that people notice about you.
Uh-huh.
I love how everyone took that very seriously. They're like, valid point.
I've started putting sunscreen at the top of my knee because I've even noticed that the skin is getting loose and I'm getting a little bit of that fold because that's the aging at 37. I'm like, here we go. So the only place I wear sunscreen is literally at the top corner of my knee. So I get it. But yeah, people amazing. Will chime in about shit and you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm up here fighting for my life, sweating fighting my literal dick my off. Life. And you want to comment like somebody, I had a woman come up to me during a show. This is very Atlantic City of her. And she was like, you got a lot of flyaways and took out hairspray and a fucking toothbrush and started fixing the fucking flyaways. Mm-hmm. I was like, thank you, but also please. Mm-hmm. Now everyone's going to be staring at the flyaways and not paying attention to my pussy, you know? Like, I was very upset about it.
It is. We do get held to a different standard of like, I'll say it. I'm like, I'm not a fashion icon. Okay. I never said I was. I'm not saying that you all should wear this outfit, but I'll wear fits that I want to feel comfortable and I want to feel confident and I fuck around.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's difficult because if you look at all women doing specials in the past, you know, it's a lot of a sequin blazer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that is, and you yeah. rock it.
I wore a whole sequin suit.
The sequin blazer, that's like the only thing we're allowed to do.
Yeah, I feel you. What did you wear for this special?
Okay, this, oh God, this was so stressful.
Yeah, walk me through the stylist situation. Because I finally hired a stylist and it has changed my life. But I found somebody who could fit my body.
Because
I had stylists before who were like, it's a size 8, but it's stretchy. I'm like, put a fucking 1 in front of it, bitch. Like, it's not going to fit, okay?
So the thing is, yeah, like my body type is like, I'm an athletic build, as I call it. Mm-hmm. I have big thighs, I have a butt, and I have a long torso, not to get in. They're just, you look, mm-hmm. I'm not a fit model. And they also want you to be like stylish. And I'm like, look, I need to be comfortable. Like there was like a full denim outfit everyone loved. And I'm like, I can't fucking breathe.
Right.
I'm having like a Carrie Bradshaw moment. Like I'm going to get hives. And they're like, no, it looks so good. And then they want you to wear a heel with it. And I'm like, I'll tear my ACL.
Yeah.
And I've worked so hard to get to this point to get a Netflix special that I'm like, I'm not gonna fuck it up because someone thinks I look more stylish
in
this fit.
Full onesie denim romper jumpsuit. Yeah, I feel you.
So I ended up wearing actually a really cool like stretchy pant with a corset by Rezik Studio, and I fought to wear boots. So I wore boots with it, and I did the worm in the beginning.
Good for you.
But the funny thing is, I went to do the worm, and there were some people on my team that were like, "Do we need to do the worm?" And I go, "I'm a worm comedian."
Yeah. You're like, have you seen Dune? I'm leaning into Dune core. Yeah.
And they were like, okay, whatever you want. So I'm like, I could do it. Don't worry. They're like, do you want to practice it? I'm like, I know how to fucking do the worm. That's my only party trick. So I go out there and I don't know about you, but like, it's different than other performances. You're like, holy fuck, it's getting filmed. And I go to do the worm and immediately I feel like, oh, my corset is going to fall down.
Titties are raw. So you're just raw dogging your titties on the stage.
I start flopping a little. Uh-huh. Like the worm's not happening because I'm like, imagine I start my special with my tit out.
Yeah.
How do you come back from that?
Yeah.
Like I can come back from a lot. I don't know if I can recover from that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of fucked up the worm my first show.
Right.
And the second show, I tightened my corset.
Smart. But
these are things that we have to deal with as women.
These are things that male comedians don't ever have to think of. And if you don't know this, we have to come out and do the worm and do the splits. Because if you're a man sitting in middle America going on your Netflix, you're like, well, if I don't see her pussy or titties in the first 3 minutes, I'm going to keep scrolling and go watch fucking Shane Gillis again. Like, these are the things that we have to do.
But you know
what?
We
have to catch you in the first 10 seconds.
I've also kind of leaned into like embracing that when I'm on tour, like, I don't have a full team with me. I don't have a physical therapist. I'm not going to the gym.
Yeah.
We're like glorified bartenders. We work every night. And in the morning, I'm on a plane. That is, if I wrote a book of how to be as bloated as possible, I would just say go
on tour as a professional comedian.
Also, what are people like making food at home and bringing it? That's mental illness.
Call me when you've done a show in Cincinnati and a woman has blown crystal meth smoke in your face on the front row. Let me know. And then you have to get on a flight the next day to like fucking Boise.
I just did a Cincinnati casino
I
love Cincinnati. Yeah. They didn't have a green room. They just had like an open air. Yeah. I was like changing in it. And then I'm like, wait, are there cameras?
Uh-huh.
And then to go to the bathroom, you have to basically like walk 3 miles through the casino to get to the bathroom. And I need a nervous poop like 8 times.
Same.
So anyway, it's just fucking stressful. But I do have to say, you have to lean in. You can't fight it and be like, I need to be perfect every night. And like, I have a whole bit about like when you're riding a guy, like they don't care if you have rolls when you lean over. Like he's having the time of his life. Or like,
absolute time of his
life. And like, when you're cuddling and he puts his hand on your stomach, like, and I show my bloat and I'm kind of like, girls, like, I'm not pretending. Why are we pretending that we're someone we're not. And I hope at least, can we all just chill out? Can we, we're all drinking and eating tonight. Right. Let's all let our flies loose.
Let the fupa out. Let it breathe a little bit. And let's all have a fucking Coors Light.
Yes.
I know. A girl, yes. I'm right there with you.
Yes.
But it's funny too, because like too, and I know you've probably learned this with touring, there are no days off because you work every weekend. And then Monday it's catching up on the million podcasts that you do. You've got meetings. You got all this shit. I went like 9 months without a single day off.
Yeah.
Like spending the day, your Sunday flying home and being in a sky club somewhere in like Sacramento is not a fucking day off. No. You're not off the clock.
You're stressed. You have to make things on time. But I do have to say, like, the fact that we can get paid to be silly.
Mm-hmm. And do the worm in a corset.
And do worm in a corset. And that's my job.
Is insane.
So I hated having a boss. And I wasn't like Mrs. like, I don't listen to people. But like, I just liked doing my own thing. Like being a weirdo, doing my own stuff. And I was really hard on myself anyway. I don't need a boss to like get me to work hard. So I feel like I'm just happy that I live this like weird entrepreneurial lifestyle.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I'm going to fuck up, I want it to be on me, not because I like am part of a company I don't believe in or something.
You know what? Fuck.
Fuck the
America.
Mayor. Quit your jobs now.
Quit your jobs and fucking be Figure a stand-up comedian. I mean, I feel the same way, especially like in comedy. Like nobody fucking helped me out. I came up on my own, but I'm a machine. And any entrepreneur knows you're a machine when you're working for yourself. When your name is on the marquee, when you know you have to go out and give a show, you will be a fucking machine.
I'm getting chills.
Yeah. Yo, girl, my pussy is chilled off.
Get me pumped
up. I got goosebumps. I'm Olivia. Get a taste of M, a hot new collection of craveable intimates from Maidenform, a brand with a whole lot of history. They've been around since the very first bras, and now they're bringing you a new kind of classic, the chicest basics you've ever seen. M is a collection from Maidenform, a brand with 100 years of innovation and category leadership. They wrote the book on bras, and M is the next juicy chapter. You have to feel it to believe it. Yummy, buttery, soft fabrics that feel way more expensive than they are. Hey, and great style that won't break the bank. On-trend designs made from stretchy, comfy fabrics and incredible colors. M can be worn as innerwear or outerwear, styled to your taste. Great looks that serve or, hey, for none to see at all. I love Maidenform. I love M, especially this new collection. I've always had Maidenform bras. They're like absolutely knock it out of the park every time. But M is a whole new vibe, okay? It is so soft. It is so comfortable. They come in great colors. And either you can like wear one of the bralettes so that you can see it, or hey, maybe you just want to be super comfy. I like to wear the M brand when I'm traveling, when I'm on planes. You just want something that's smooth to your skin, that if you want to take a nap in, you just curl up, don't think twice about it. I friggin' love M. Visit Maidenform.com and use code ABSOLUTELY20 at checkout for 20% off your first purchase. That's Maidenform, Maidenform.com. Use code ABSOLUTELY20 for 20% off your first order. Again, that's Maidenform.com and use code ABSOLUTELY20 for 20% off your first order. Listen, taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should be at least simple. That's why for the last, 4 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day. No exceptions, just one scoop, mix it in water once a day, every day. And it makes me just feel energized, focused, keeps me regular. It's just a no-brainer. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that is also just powerfully simple. I got so sick and tired of carrying around 8 jingle-jangle bags of friggin' loose pills. Well, with one scoop of AG1, I'm getting 75 whole vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients straight out of a little baggie. I take my little to-go AG1, or if I'm going somewhere for a while, I take a full bag. One scoop every day, or one little travel pack in some water, shake it up, easy, wolf it down. It's actually really delicious, and I feel energized, okay? I am so sick of seeing everybody as like the pill lady with the pills, the loose things in their purse, when all you need to supplement your life is just, hey, one scoop. I love it, okay? And so if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2, which is an absolute game changer. And 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase at drinkag1.com/absolutely. That's drinkag1.com/absolutely. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I really love AG1. My husband's obsessed with it. My mom takes it. The whole family freaking takes it. AG1 is the freaking best. Again, all you got to do is go to drinkag1.com/absolutely. Now back to the podcast.
I have a story to tell you.
Okay, tell me.
That's a name drop, but okay. I'd heard through the grapevine that like you and J-Law mm-hmm. were friends.
Yeah.
And I get asked to do this quick interview with mm-hmm. J-Law. And they give you like 7 minutes.
Yeah.
So you don't, your heart never really calms down. You're just kind of in and out.
Right.
And I knew.
And it was for her press tour for the movie.
Yes.
Yes.
Which okay. was amazing.
Yeah.
And I, and she also
so
like,
excited where this,
this
is going.
This was part of her like comeback. Like this right. was like kind of, and then she's doing comedy. And I was just, it was very, it was full circle. And I was like, I fucking love J-Law. And then I found out she knew Jackie Schimmel. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, I'm pretty much best friends with Heather. And then Jackie yeah. Schimmel and I did a pod together that was really funny. So we're best friends. So I walk in and I was like, you just got to be like, you're yeah. girly. Like, you know her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I know you know Jackie Schimmel.
Yeah.
Like, I love Jackie and Heather. And she was like, yeah. And then I was like, I don't know what came over me, but I was just like, and you know, you're friends with Amy.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, do you know Amy? And I was like, actually, I don't. Wait. And it was like 3 seconds. And I was like, I don't know why. I just, like, she's a comedian. I just brought
Wait,
her up.
Amy Schumer?
And yeah, I just brought her up. And she was like, oh, yeah, you know Amy. And I was like,
I don't
like,
know
I
Amy.
I can't say, I can't lie to her. Because yeah. then she'll go back to Amy, like, oh, you know right. Hannah. And the next yeah. thing you know, Amy's like, what, how, why are you talking shit?
Guess what? Amy knows none of Amy us.
I just like, I was one of those moments.
I know that's not tea, but Amy knows
you know
none
when
of
you're
us.
Just trying to, I'm like, I've watched her on TV. I've definitely watched her on TV. And then we stood there and it was like, okay. And then she was so fucking cool and nice to the uh-huh. point that at one point I think I looked at her and I was like, you don't have to be this nice to me.
Right.
And she looked at me kind of funny and I was like, okay, I was joking. And then at one point my phone goes off and she goes, is that Dez? Who's my husband.
Yeah.
And I like had a, again, another moment of like,
yeah.
how do I process this? And she's like, I watched Summer House and I really like the show. And I was like, I can't process this right now. I love you. You're amazing. She mm-hmm. was so funny. And I left and I was like, I can't wait to tell Heather how I like literally got so
I lied
scared.
About my friendship with Amy Schumer.
Like what? I was like, should we go to brunch? Like yeah. what's happening?
Here's the thing with some of these like like big celebs, right? And Jay, Jen is so great. She's yes. just one of us. She's
she
just likes to
so
fucking giggle.
Chill.
I tell her I'm so glad she's doing comedies. Like she's so fucking funny.
Finally.
But you forget, like I always forget. I'm like, okay, I've shot this special. It's out there in the ethosphere.
Yes.
Anybody can fucking watch it.
The ethosphere.
Michelle Obama yes. could sit down and click on
we'll
it if she was bored.
The
okay?
TikTok algorithm.
Yes.
Like they are seeing what we're seeing. The world uh-huh. is so crazy right
the
now.
The world is very bizarre. Like, so when J-Law originally reached out to me, I was like, I thought she was J-Law from accounting. She was like, Jennifer yeah. Lawrence. They're like, Jennifer Lawrence, what's your email? And she sent
oh, you
me,
thought it was like a Nigerian prince scamming you.
100%. Yeah. But I was willing and able to give her my number.
She was like, I need $500 now.
And I was like, what is your Venmo? Please tell me. Or what is your Cash App? So I had no idea. And then I was like, wait a minute. I forget that my shit's like out there in the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just think you're out there just doing the giggles. And the next thing you know, you're like, no, people actually watch this
but
shit.
But then you're also like, how could someone so famous like relate to my uh-huh. stupid shit?
Yeah.
But then you realize like how everyone really is the same dealing with their own demons.
Yeah. After I've been doing all these like red carpets and bullshit, I'm like, literally everyone is so absorbed with their own shit. Everyone yes. is just as nervous.
Yes.
That's why like when I go into these rooms with these big people, I'm like, everyone's worried that they have fucking poppy seeds in their teeth, just like
everyone.
I am. Everyone's worried about the same bullshit.
Yes.
So get out of your own way. Get out of your own head. Like I've got, yes. I got to do this big gig tomorrow and I've been so anxious, like working with these like big boys. Mm-hmm. And my husband was like, fuck this shit, Heather. Yeah. He was like, go in there, just let it rip and have fun and do it for the people that you want to fucking do it
well,
for.
It is. I really love what you've done with your career. Not to suck your dick, but like, I feel like you're a great example of like, if you imagine it, it can happen. Like, I think you're literally limited by just what you can imagine in your career.
I feel the same
and
way
I
about
feel
you.
Like, did you not manifest one day being on stage with like the biggest, greatest comedians?
Yeah.
So the scary thing is sometimes it happens and then uh-huh. you're like, oh, fuck, like
yeah.
it's happening. And that's kind of how I felt with Netflix where like, obviously it was a goal, but then the day came and I was like, oh shit, like, be careful what you wish for.
And right before you were about to walk out with your corset on and your fucking nice stretchy pants and your boots, did you ever say to yourself, you're like, this is fucking wrong. These people should not be here to see me. This is absolutely not how it's supposed to go down.
Well, with, okay, so because I was a tennis player, I've yeah. dealt with like a lot of pressure before.
Because I played tennis, I know how to fucking go. All right.
Just like, I was just like yeah. running around with my balls and playing, hitting stuff.
Yeah.
But like I had basically a tennis career before this,
mm-hmm.
which was, I dealt with a lot of performance anxiety
yeah.
and a lot of situations. And I actually like did not love competing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I approached comedy, I was like, okay, this time around, let's be nice to ourselves.
Yeah.
We're not doing it for anyone else but ourselves. You don't have to like torture yourself. And I've had this really like nice relationship with comedy where like I'm always like, you're learning, you're growing, you're doing like I'm reparenting myself through comedy. My inner healing through comedy. But in comedy, I really haven't put a lot of pressure on myself. I'm just like, we're being ourselves, whatever. Go fuck it.
Yeah.
And then Netflix was the first thing that was like, it's kind of like you don't want to fuck it up.
And it's probably that first thing. I mean, you've had so much success. You've been fucking making, when you start making money on the road, you're like, oh, fuck. I don't even give a fuck what the critics say. Mm-hmm. I'm buying a goddamn boat, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But you're like that Netflix moment. You're like, wait a minute. This is the first like moment that's mine with the people are going to be able to go on Netflix and see your fucking name. Yeah. It's like a very validating feeling too in the business.
Yes. And I think I was like super chill. And then 2 weeks before the special, I like had a freak out where I was like,
that's it. You're on the exact emotional roller coaster that everybody goes on.
And that's what my husband was saying. He's like, you've been too calm. And I was like, no, but I'm always calm. I like pride myself on not putting pressure on myself. And it's like, you can't, but I realized whenever you do something that scares you, it's like sometimes your inner demons try to come out and it's like to get to the next level, it's going to be hard. And like, and I think you're a good example of someone who seems pretty fearless with like, let's challenge ourselves. Let's like tomorrow, you're going to become such a better comic just because you're doing it.
Yeah.
Because next time you're in a room with those people, you'll be like, yeah, I survived that already.
I literally will have crippling diarrhea starting tonight at about 5 p.m. I got to go to the Rangers game and I will be rinkside and I will be doo-dooing myself. Okay.
This career is fucked up.
This career is so fucked up. You know what? Before I forget. Well, it's like one of my first like really big shows. I was about to walk out on stage and I turned to Tina who's backstage and I just go, this makes no sense. Anybody who decides to go out in front of 3,000 people and fucking try and make them laugh is fucking insane. I am a psychopath, but I fucking love this. And then I was like, Heather McMahon. And I'm just like, let's go, doggy. But you really do go through these emotions. But then once you get that first laugh, you're like, it's no greater joy. And I always say, like, I get a lot of bullshit from everybody in my life, keeps me so fucking humble.
Good.
My mom's already called and screamed at me on 3 times on the phone about something I did at the house. You know, I left my room a mess. Like, I'm literally like 13 years old again. But I always say, I'm like, for 90 minutes, for an hour, however long I'm on stage, I'm finally respected. That's where, like, I'm literally like, this is the only place where nobody can fucking fuck with me. So even a heckler, I'm like, I don't give a fuck. There is nothing that you can say to me that my own mother hasn't said to me.
That is so
good. Like, I'm like, try me, bitch.
That is so good. I was just talking to Paige on Giggly Squad about like, we're talking about roles of men and women and like how when women get married, a lot of the time, like their life gets worse. And when men get married, their life gets better because the woman like handles all their shit.
Yeah, elevates
and,
it.
And it's valid, but I was like, I've just taken on the role of the man where it's like, mama's working, so I'm not doing laundry. I'm not taking care of myself. Yeah. I'm busy. Like,
and this makes me so horny that you said that, because I'll tell you what. Dude. I'll tell you what. When I come home and I'm literally like, I'll throw down the bags and be like, the house is a mess. What the fuck did you do this weekend? And Jeff, like, I can hear him. Like, when the car pulls up, I can see him scurrying through the windows. Like, he panics because he knows mama's home. Mama's home.
But it's true. And I don't know if it's because, like, we're this generation of women that, like, we didn't have to fight to, like, have careers. Mm-hmm. And we're just like, this is my career.
No, we did have to fight. And now we're so terrified that it's going to go away tomorrow. We're literally come home and we're absolute cunts.
True.
Yeah.
True. And now I'm at that awkward age of 32 where everyone's like, and I'm married.
Yeah.
So, like, if I get an abortion, that's, like, looked down upon. So everyone's like, when are you having a baby? But, like, most 32-year-old comics who are men.
Yeah.
Okay, God forbid they get their girlfriend pregnant or their wife pregnant. It's really not going to affect their career at all.
No, they're still on the road wheeling and dealing. Wheeling and fucking dealing. They can go to Boise and Cincinnati in one weekend and come back and be like, suck my dick. You know what I mean? Meanwhile.
And they're like, Dandy, I love you.
Yeah, you're the best.
Mama.
And then they go on a podcast and they're like, you know what? Spending time with my son on Mondays from 1 to 4 is the best feeling in the world.
I haven't gotten a lot of sleep, but it's just because I've been traveling a lot.
You're like, I haven't gotten sleep because I ripped tip to tape. I fucking hate you. Yeah, that's been my thing because I have one egg and I have low fertility and I got it's bad.
I didn't mean to open
this. No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm very open about it. I basically have to like shit or get off the pot. And
it's unnecessary stress that like you shouldn't have to deal with right now because you're also like dealing with like really beautiful, intense career momentum.
But like if there's tumbleweeds down there, like you fucked. My financial advisor, shout out to Scott. Scott literally pulled me aside and he was like, Heather, I really think you need to have a baby. Like, you have 9 months before, like, you know, like, before the next big thing in your career. He's like, you have one quick window. I think you need to have a baby. And I was so like, if my financial advisor's like, do it now.
Do you know what's fucked up? But I just thought in my head, like, when you have a baby, like, the content's going to be so good.
It's so good.
And not I'm pretty anti, like, posting your kids too much for content. Yeah. However, the jokes... of your mother, but also that's not why you should do it.
Rosebud and I were chit-chatting about that because she's one of my favorites and she had a baby and she's like the DMs that she gets about people being like, oh, like that, you know, the baby's for content. She's like, no, fuck you. And just because I'm a mom and yes, I'm going to talk about like my life, like what it's like to be a mother, but like suck my dick, you know?
Yes.
But yes, it will be fire content. So.
But yeah, there's so much more to consider. And then as you do bigger things, those things require plans, apparently.
Yeah.
So like they have to be like, okay, March 2026. And you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Is the world even going to be like...
like, is anybody even going to want to hear my fucking name? No, they're not. By March 2026, they're going to be like, we're so fucking done with you. I'm going to be selling real estate with Armie Hammer in fucking Grand Cayman. Like, we already know it's a wrap.
It's a multi-level marketing scheme with Armie.
Can I be honest with you though, Hannah? If we needed to be like Mary Kay Girlies, we would fucking crush. We would crush.
Is that our sitcom?
No, it's well. Can I tell you, I pitched that like six times. But no,
that was Leanne Morgan. Please tell me you've interviewed.
I haven't interviewed Leanne. No, what? She was a Mary Kay girl.
She was just a mom. Well, she wanted to be an actress, I think, back in the day. But she was a mom who was selling like Tupperware.
Yeah,
and she was crushing whenever she'd go and like people were like peeing their pants laughing and they were like, you should do stand-up, and she's like, I'm a mom of four, but well, I mean hilarious.
Now she's absolutely,
and now she's on Netflix.
She's on Netflix, she's on the road. Shout out to Leanne. Oh, guess what? I got a new show for you, and I'm talking about Vanderpump Villa, a new fun reality series from the one and only iconic Lisa Vanderpump. Lisa Vanderpump has a new home on Hulu. It's an escape to the French countryside. This series offers first-class luxury and world-class drama, which we love. Lisa's staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Listen, I'll tell you right now, you've never, ever been disappointed by anything that Lisa Vanderpump has put her finger on, okay? The last, oh, I don't know, 15 years has taken us on an emotional roller coaster. That's why I'm going to be tuning into Vanderpump Villa. At the heart of the series is the staff, okay? A group of attractive, opinionated team members who all have a unique or lack thereof expertise that they've entered the villa to work, play, and clash under the same roof as their guests. This series will chronicle their day-to-day lives as they strive for Lisa's approval and the villa's success. Living and working together 24 hours a day will serve as the catalyst for the interpersonal drama that will ensue. So you know it's going to be good. You know it's going to be freaking good. Listen, watch Vanderpump Villa premiering April 1st only on Hulu. Again, that's premiering April 1st only on Hulu. You love Lisa. I love Lisa. So why wouldn't you check out Vanderpump Villa? I want to know what the hell is going on at the villa. Conflict is bound to unfold as friendships are formed, romances are sparked, and the group is pushed to their emotional limits to satisfy a guest at every whim. If you know Lisa and you know you love her, watch Vanderpump Villa premiering April 1st only on Hulu. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place, all on your own terms. We love Squarespace, okay? I built my website with Squarespace. I have literally been able to build my empire all on the one platform, which is Squarespace, because it has everything there. If you're trying to grow your business, if you're trying to improve your online presence, then you need Squarespace. The reason I love Squarespace is because they just make it easy, okay? You literally plug in what you need for your business and it is all right there, okay? Work smarter, not harder. I say this all the time. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to www.squarespace.com/absolutely to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Again, that's Squarespace.com/absolutely to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. I love Squarespace. I use it for my touring website. I use it for my merch website. It's so easy. Listen, you can also make custom merch. You could have an online store. You could have a video collection, host all your videos. People can have access to all your social media right through there. You can do email campaigns, flexible website templates, analytics, blogging tools. And hey, you can have and accept appointments on your Squarespace website. It is so genius. You're going to love it too. Again, all you have to do you is go to squarespace.com/absolutely to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain using code absolutely.
I used to do cold calling sales back in the day.
I have worked every hospitality job you can imagine. Oh, but what was your worst job?
I do think cold calling sales was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because I was good at it, but I would just like cry in the bathroom a lot.
Because you only are making money off the commission.
Yeah. And you start from zero every month. So you have to, you have a quota. And then they have like a big thing of like ranking people of where you are. And I did well, but like it wasn't worth it. And you're always just trying to like, it feels like you're trying to take from people all the time. And I think what I loved about comedy is like, we're literally like giving.
I'm literally just like, so philanthropic.
I'm so philanthropic, giving them just like labia jokes left and right. But that is where I'm more comfortable. But your 20s is about doing different careers and seeing where you thrive and when you don't.
I am so impressed. Shout out to Emily. She's in the room. Emily runs the social media. I'm like, she's like well beyond her years in her 20s. Mm-hmm. I worked at Stout, the biggest Irish sports bar in New York City. When I was 23, I was like Stout. The bottle girl at Stout, okay?
Oh my God.
I would carry around 65 Guinnesses on a giant tray.
Did you wear an outfit?
I wore the whole outfit with the skirt and the tights. Oh my God.
Adorable.
That was my fucking job. Adorable. That was a dream job. And every about 3 hours.
It's basically Irish Hooters.
No, it is Irish Hooters. And every 3 hours, one of my Irish coworkers named James would be like, Heather, I'll marry you for $10,000. I need my citizenship. And I'd always, he's like, you're a McMahon. Heather Kyle McMahon. I've never heard such an Irish name.
Like, we might be related.
Yeah,
so.
Like, exactly. We're cousins, so I can't fuck you, even though I am from Georgia. But every day, I would come home with a marriage proposal. And I was like, I got to get out of this
that
job.
That is so, but Irish guys.
But Irish guys, huh?
Pretty hot. Have you played Dublin yet?
I haven't done Dublin. I just did Australia, which was insane, but I haven't done any of the UK or Ireland.
That'll
I haven't
be
done
fun.
It yet.
That'll
yeah,
fun.
How was that?
Well, I just booked it for May. Dublin and London for the first time.
Great.
Yeah.
Let's go. Maybe I'll meet you over there.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do shows.
Yeah. Maybe next time I just have 30 and you just have 30. Let's just
only do 30.
Let's call it a day. Can you call?
Yeah, get on the phone. Gina's getting on the phone.
Who came up with the whole hour concept? That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of talking.
It's a lot of talking. And I do a long hour too. I do like a 90 because I am such a psychopath. I'm like, I have to give the greatest show ever. So that everyone's going to come back. Yes. And then I walk outside and I go, I just took another half hour of my next hour. Like, why did I do this?
Also, Andrew was joking because you're fun.
Yeah.
Like, you're actually fun. Like, you'll like, after the show, you're eating, you're drinking, you're talking shit. I'm very like, I'm on. And then I'm like, I'm going to go home and watch HGTV and like just like scroll TikTok.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll order enchiladas to the room.
Uh-huh.
But like, I'm very like almost introverted in a way.
After the show.
After the show.
So I'm that way before the show. I am. Don't talk to me. I don't let anybody backstage. I'm not like a weirdo.
No, good
but
for you, though.
I listen to cocktail jazz, Hannah. I do my own makeup.
Yacht Rock.
Yacht Rock would be way too wild for me. Yacht Rock, if they put on Steely Dan, I would start to sweat and panic. That's basically like playing fucking like Griffin or like Armin Van Buren, okay? Yacht Rock before show is ultra music festival for me.
So soft, light,
soft.
Spa jazz.
It's not spa jazz. No, there's a big
not
difference.
Spa jazz.
Spa jazz has like a light sax, okay? That's true. Like dental hygienist jazz, okay? I listen to cocktail jazz, so I feel like I'm at the Bemelman's bar up at the Carlisle.
Yeah.
It's
you have
piano
a little buzz,
based.
A little buzz.
Yeah, and it's a vibe. So it's, you know, it may be like New York, but on the piano. So I'm getting a little Broadway jingle jangle in my in my hips, but it still keeps me calm.
Yes.
And then right before I go out on stage, I'll blast like Drake or like Lil Wayne.
I do like Ice Spice.
Yeah, yeah, Ice Spice.
Lil Cardi B.
The Hot Boys, something like that. But I can't, before a show, I shut it the fuck down.
It's so funny because sometimes I think people forget that we're like performers and before shows, like, you know, when like agents will come and they're just like chatty, chatty, chatty.
Oh,
and I'm about
I
to
say,
go
get
on
the
stage.
Fuck out.
Good for you. You have boundaries.
Yeah.
I feel,
only for that in my life.
I feel like before shows, I don't want to be in my own thoughts. So I'll like be acting like I'm just like not doing a show and I'll just be talking normally. But I remember with Netflix, it got kind of crazy backstage and I was like fighting for my life in my own head. So I was like, I just went into the other room and shut the door with like my notebook and was like, what jokes do I do?
You just start with a blank page and you're like, let's write an hour.
What's the hour game? What should we do tonight? But yeah, everyone deals with their nerves differently. But it's funny because it's not like I'm this like chill person. Like I don't like driving. I don't like group dinners. Like I have things that I'm like can't, but like 2,000 people with a mic, I'm like
easy
okay,
breezy. Yeah.
Okay, thank God.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's not healthy.
I don't think we're wired the same as other people, but I will say this. Like, after the show, I am on such a fucking buzzy high that I can't go back and watch HGTV and then, like, eat a chicken enchilada by myself. Like, when Andrew's on the road with me, I was like, Andrew, you want to get margarita? Let's go chit-chat about how much fun tonight was. And he's like, all right, Heather and I'm leaving. Andrew, you want to go to Dave & Buster's? Let's go play fucking, you know, the whack-a-mole. Like, I would be so fucking amped after the show.
Andrew loves to, like, play and have fun. He'll text me and I'm like, I'm asleep.
Yeah.
I'm asleep.
No, I'm like, let's go on a 45 mile hike because I'm going to be buzzing till 5 a.m. But before a show, people are literally like, check my pulse. Like sometimes I'll be like doing my calm meditation. Sometimes I've got like, you know, like doing a sound bath. Like it is chill vibes. And when girlies will text me and they're like, Heather, oh my God, we're across the street ripping shots. Let's fucking go. I'm like, I'm a performer and I need to be in the zone. I'm doing my vocal warm-ups. I've got like a saltwater steam. Like do not fuck with me before a show. But then after the show, it is fucking tits out.
See, I couldn't keep up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like a baby. Like, if I have two glasses of wine the next day, I'm like, I don't know what I did and why. So I'm just like, I feel like I'm either asleep or I'm like the loudest person in the room.
But that's, you know what, Anna? It's called maturity. Okay.
It's not mature. I also, I'm just not that great with alcohol.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I feel like I lose my wit and I just, I get pretty quiet and I just like kind of shake my ass and like, I'm actually not that fun. And then I get sleepy. It's genetic. I'm Italian. I like to eat.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm an eat person.
Oh, honey,
I'm food.
If you give me a fucking like 7-layer dip, I come alive. You've never, like, people need gummies or booze. You give us kind of girls a fucking sheet cake and it is the
best.
If
someone's
material.
Like, let's get coffee, I don't answer. If they're like, there's a new restaurant of, you know, burrata that we can get, I'm like, where is it? Where do I go? How do I get
there? 25 different types of burrata. Let's go. And then you and I are just like writing fucking jokes. We're eating burrata, writing jokes. I love that. So tell me all about the special. I'm so excited. And for people who don't know how this kind of works, you shoot it, there'll be months of editing, and then they'll give you a release date. So you...
Well, it's so cool that I get to talk to you now because this is my first experience in it.
Yeah.
And you've already like had this experience. But it's funny. They're like, okay, you got a special. And then you kind of figure out, they're like, what do you want the set to be? And you're like, I don't know. I just walk on stage. I never know what's going on behind me. Right. And then there's like definitely like decisions. It's like, I say it was kind of like planning my wedding if I cared.
Yeah. Can I tell you? I know that you and I were the exact same brides. We didn't give a fuck. Like I cared that everybody was having a good time.
I was obsessed with everyone else having a good time.
But I was...
I was walking down and I go, are you okay? I was like, is everyone okay? Like, oh my God, we're the same. I hated the attention of making people come to my wedding.
I did too. I
like,
hated it.
I want to earn your attention. Yep. I want you to be like, am I going to like this? And then like, I can win you over. I don't want you to be forced to clap for me walking in a dress. Like that gives me chills.
I hated walking down the aisle.
Oh.
Literally, my mom was walking down. I was like, Mom, I hate this. I fucking hate this. Bridal attention was not the attention I wanted.
It's like happy birthday attention.
Yes.
Where like everyone's singing because they have to. And I'm like, you guys don't even, you don't want to sing.
Yeah. You don't want to sing.
You guys didn't want to be here.
But when you pay money to see us shake our tits, you want to be there.
That it's so different. Mm-hmm. So yeah, my wedding, I kind of had an aesthetic I liked. I found a great girl to help.
Yeah.
And I literally said, surprise me on the day. I walked in. I said, oh, she nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I had other things to stress about. For this, I mean, my wedding dress, I went to a strip mall in Long Island.
Hell yeah.
To try on the just like shapes. First one, I go, Mom, I think this is it. It was like $1,700. I go, no, this is it. I don't want to
get the debit card out.
I don't want to go shopping. I said, get that debit card out. We're writing a check.
Mm-hmm.
And then the stress, they were trying to be like, oh, you got to be this centimeter big or we're going to have to change. I said, I don't give a fuck. But then with my special, I was like, if this outfit isn't fucking perfect, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
If I had one crystal off the custom boots that I had for the special, I was like, I will kill myself.
I said, you think that's a purple light?
Yeah.
It's not a fucking purple light.
That's a magenta hue.
Magenta hue.
And it's leaning two more pink. And I said, fucking purple.
Okay. My stylist, she was like coming up with some like, she had one outfit like with like a peplum.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I was starting to get nervous. Mm-hmm. And I was like, look. Would Olivia Rodrigo wear this? And my friends with me, they all stop. They go, what did you just say? And I go, would Olivia Rodrigo wear this to her tour? And they go, did you just compare yourself to Olivia Rodrigo?
Like, first of all, she's 14. Hannah, you're 32.
I go, in my head, I'm Olivia Rodrigo on Netflix, okay? And she needs to wear something fucking cool.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, you need to go to the bathroom, mm-hmm. look at yourself in the mirror, mm-hmm. have a come to Jesus, come back out. And I said, okay. And then I said, no peplums, thank you. But I liked the idea of it. But I do think you also have to have a crazy sense of belief of just being like, I'm going to rock this. Mm-hmm. And I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it will go up and down. The days up to it. Like one day you're like, do I know what comedy is? And the next day you're like, I've the greatest comic who ever walked comedy.
I literally like about 48 hours before I was like, I'm going to quit all this and give my life to the Lord. Like I was ready to join a monastery.
I said, I'm going to do it, but then I'm retiring. I go, this is my retirement. Well, that was your whole thing. Wasn't it called like the last tour or something?
Oh, what?
Wasn't your tour?
Oh yeah, it was a farewell tour. Because I was like, I have no idea how this is gonna go.
You're not gonna do it again. No. So I basically was like, yeah, this is, I'm gonna crush this, but I can't promise anyone that I'm capable of anything after this.
Yeah.
So I put my heart and soul out there. I got a weird calm right before I went on stage, which was the comedy gods.
What happened?
I just felt like calm for the first time in like 2 weeks. Yeah. And then I got to do it and both shows went well.
And you had fun.
I did it in Philly. I had fun.
Okay, we got to talk about Philly. Where'd you shoot it in Philly?
The Fillmore.
Oh, beautiful.
Now, I was a little nervous because no one's ever shot a special at the Fillmore. And I was like, it's Philadelphia. It's a 1,500 seater. Why would no one shoot it there? Mm-hmm. And they were like, we don't know. And I'm like, are we going to figure it out?
It's
like,
probably a union cost.
I have no idea.
And Netflix probably like, they paid a pretty penny.
I have no idea. But I was like, I had done my podcast tour there. And I remember the laughs were good. It has chandeliers. And the vibes were right. And I just was like, then the Philly girls are very like Boston, New York. Like they love chanting. They're drunk. They're loud. They're smart.
Yeah.
They're competitive. They're focused.
Right.
And I hadn't done Philly in like a year and a half or 2 years. And I wanted the material to be fresh. Like I could have done New York, but like I had just done a run.
Right.
So I wanted the crowd to like authentically be excited about the material. And yeah, I did it. And honestly, the next day I thought I got hit by a truck. Like I was sore.
Did you do two shows back to back?
Yeah.
So I can't. That is, I sweat so much. I'm like Cat Williams. Like I literally need a beach towel on the side. My glitter.
You did two separate days.
I do two separate days. Just because I need to, because what happens is if I'm just doing like hours, like at clubs or whatever, that's fine. But if I'm recording, I'll go to the next show and I'll be saying my joke for like the second time that night. And I'm like, wait a minute, have I already said this? Like I like to have a fresh start every night.
I do have to say two shows in one night is the worst.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Because it's like if you're running a marathon, but you have to run two marathons.
Exactly.
So like you put your heart and soul out there, you get back to the green room and they go, okay, we have about an hour and you have to do that all again. Probably try to do it better.
And then you shovel a fried chicken sandwich down your throat.
And then you're bloated
and then you're shitting yourself and then you're like, fun, jokes, jokes, jokes.
And I've been doing the two shows in one night, but it does help you get really like, it flows through you.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting time for me to kind of be like, you really have to believe in yourself. Like it's just you out there. And the Netflix special was like, this is what's going to live on.
Uh-huh.
And you could really scare yourself.
You'll see when you go to edit. Cause I went to edit and I was really like, I hate this. Everybody's terrible. Why? My neck looks fucking loose.
Yeah.
Like I became so harsh on myself. I had to take a day.
Yeah.
My girlfriend Jen directed it. And she literally was like, you're a fucking sociopath.
Yep.
She was like, this fucking crushed. It was so much fun. She's like, that was the best day of your life. You've never had more fun. But when I saw myself on camera, I ripped myself a new asshole.
Yeah.
I had to take a step back. And then finally, I got drunk one night by myself. I opened up my computer and I was like, okay, press play. And then I was like, I'm the fucking king of the world.
Was it hard for you to choose between two shows?
No. No, because I remember like the first show was kind of like that real warm-up show. Both times I picked more stuff from the second show.
Yes.
Because then I'm like in the zone and I know where the light is. And I'm like a creature, like I feel a camera on me. So I had moments where I like had to hit, like look directly into camera.
Yeah.
Like, what did you choose?
So it's funny, the first show I did and I walked off and they were like, we got it.
Yeah.
That was like, we didn't expect the first show to go that well. We got it. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And they were like, calm down, be silly. So I go out the second show, nail the worm.
Yeah.
And then I'm like feeling myself. And then 15 minutes in, like I'm calmer than the first show. And I go, oh shit, I think this is the show.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, oh fuck. And then I'm like leaning in and then I get off and they're like, that was the show. But sometimes in comedy, I feel like when you're having a lot of fun on stage, you could get a little too loosey-goosey mm-hmm. and you think you're killing and then you watch it over and you're like, yeah, the energy was great, but that's, you missed like 80 words of that joke.
You were actually slurring your speech.
Sometimes
you had a stroke a quarter through the show and you were like, this show's going fantastic.
No, sometimes when the vibes are too good, you're just like, and everyone's like, ah! Uh-huh. So sometimes it is better when you're a little more nervous and you're a little more like to the book. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you're a sociopath if you like to watch yourself do stand-up comedy.
I hate it. When they send me clips of shit that they've spliced together, I go, oh, burn it to the ground.
I watch it for a second. I go, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I hate it. Yeah.
So it is kind of an artist's nightmare to have to like dissect their work. Also, it's not like we can be like, actually, I don't like it. Let's redo it. It's like,
it's
this is what we're working with.
Yeah. And don't worry. It's like, here's what I think too. I'm like, however harsh I want to be on myself, some fucking incel will make a comment on TikTok and just be like, is this woman 65 or is she 40, 102? We can't fucking tell. Like some guy will bring me back down 10 notches. So I'm like, just, however mean I could be to myself, I'm just waiting on another comment.
It's true.
Yeah.
So I am going to go into try to not be like too much of a perfectionist.
No.
But I don't want too many cooks in the kitchen, but I do appreciate when someone else has a opinion on it because sometimes you see yourself through a different lens.
Yeah.
Like I used to edit out my like crazy laughs on my podcast because I thought they were annoying.
Yeah.
Which is quick, but I just, you hear yourself laugh and you're like, I'm going to crawl in a hole mm-hmm. and never come out. And then now that's like what people love about our pod is how we like laugh the maniacally.
It's fucking giggly squad.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was like something that I was insecure about that I was like, wait, like take up space, laugh your fucking ass off, even
take
if it sounds like a coyote.
I love that you said too that the Philly girls are smart because Philadelphia is one of my favorite places to perform. And every time I go there, it is just, it's another fucking level of just, you're like, they're in the fucking pocket, but also you're like, I'm fighting for my life because they're not going to fucking put up with bullshit.
Oh yeah. They're
you
fucking
gotta come
tough.
Correct.
They're tough. And they will, if you're in it, they're in it with you.
Yeah.
So I loved that energy, but I also, it's funny to think of like where else I want to perform. I want to do a special in Madison because I went to college there.
Oh, hell yeah.
So like I have this weird connection with Madison because I know every restaurant, every bar and like all the inside jokes. So I would do like a residency in Wisconsin, which is so random, but like I want to do a residency.
That's how I feel about Mississippi.
Yeah.
I went to Ole Miss. I would,
yes.
I would go even down to Biloxi and just do the fucking Hard Rock Casino over and over again. And I would live on a riverboat. Yes. I would do a fucking Mississippi showboat and I would be thrilled.
That would be hilarious. I also do have to say, the Southern girls are so funny.
Yeah.
Like one of my best friends is from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Who I
met
in
Arkansas
college.
Is another level.
She's hysterical. And like everyone, and they're all drunk by 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason. But it's just no one asks. And everyone's just hysterical. And so it's so fun to go around and see like all the different girlies and all their different senses of humor and how they cope with existence.
Cope with existence. And then there are some states you go to and you go, guys, we still live here. Why? You know what I mean? Like sometimes I go into splits and I go, this, I'm not judging, but this is a TED talk. And I feel like we could apply. Look at glass door. We could get out of here.
You know when you forget where you are and you do it maybe a bit and you're like, wait, can you guys even get birth control?
Yeah.
Like you like forget that you're not in a certain place and you're like, what?
You know what? I'm about to have a couple weeks at home and you know what my ass is going to be doing? On the Pelotons. Here's the thing. Okay. Just meet yourself where you are at the end of the day, okay? When it ever comes to fitness journeys, everyone panics because it's like, okay, I feel like I'm behind. Where do I start? Well, Peloton wants you to just start where you are, all right? Peloton supports and guides members from day one. Whether you're already on your fitness journey or you're restarting your fitness journey, I'm telling you, Peloton is the way to go. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Whether you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist-themed rides, they've got something for you. You know what I love is when I go to a gym and they have a Peloton and I can just log into my account. Or when I take my iPad with me on the road and I can do the Peloton workouts on the road, wherever I am, I just log in. They have everything. I love their upper body series. I love the yoga. I love all of the ab series because Lord knows I'm soft in the middle. I'm trying to get there. Peloton bike instructors keep you motivated from day one, and Peloton entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you don't want to miss a thing. Whether you're starting, getting moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental, Visit www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Again, that's O-N-E Peloton, PELOTON.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. You're going to love Peloton. I love mine. Whether I'm on the bike or doing the workouts, I friggin' love Peloton. Again, go to onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Y'all, I am so excited to share with you guys an incredible scientific breakthrough to support our long-term health and wellness. C15 is the first essential fatty acid to be discovered in 90 years. And get this, studies have confirmed that it's 3 times better, broader, and safer than omega-3. Let me tell you the origin story here. Okay, Fatty 15's co-founders, Dr. Stephanie Van Watson, discovered C15 as the first essential fatty acid to be found in over 90 years while working with the U.S. Navy to continually improve the health and welfare of aging dolphins. Listen, if this isn't a freaking origin story, then I don't even know what is. Okay, honey, we're talking dolphins. We're talking the U.S. Navy. We're talking about a female doctor, Steph, over here changing lives. It's pretty simple, though. Essential nutrients keep our cells healthy, which keeps us healthy, okay? Fatty 15 is a science-backed, award-winning, vegan-friendly, and pure C15 supplement. By replenishing our cells with essential C15, zero nutrient, Fatty 15 effectively repairs our cells and restores our long-term health. Okay, go science. We love it. Fatty 15 has 3 times more cellular benefits than omega-3 or fish oil. Fatty 15 is made from patented, pure, and oxidation-resistant C15 powder derived from plants. It's vegan-friendly, free of flavors, fillers, allergens, and preservatives. C15 is the only ingredient in Fatty 15 100% pure. Dude, I love it. I started taking it. It makes me feel alive and well, and it's better for healthy hair, skin, and nails. Now that is absolutely essential. Fatty 15 is on a mission to replenish your C15 levels and restore your long-term health. You can get an additional 15% off their 90-day subscription starter kit by going to fatty15.com/absolutely and using code absolutely at checkout. Again, that is fatty15.com/absolutely and use code absolutely at checkout. Have you done Canada yet? I'm sure.
I have.
Canada's
yeah.
The best. Every time I go to Canada, I'm like, okay, they don't know what Spindrift is, so I got to change that. But I'm like, you know, I'm like, who loves soda pop?
Okay, so I have a Walgreens joke.
Uh-huh.
And they all, I was like, do you guys have Walgreens? They were like, no. And they started yelling like, Schrapper.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And for 10 minutes, we were going back and forth. They were like, shopper, shopper, shopper. And I couldn't understand them. And finally, it was like, Shoppers
yes,
is what they do.
There is a very fancy drugstore.
It's a, yeah. So then the whole rest of the show, I just call back Shoppers. So like, but that's what will happen. Like when you go to, when you went to Australia yeah. or like going to Dublin, they don't have Advil. They have something else. So like it's really hard just being a worldly girl.
No, you literally have to learn so much. And just so you guys know, like study.
I have to know like 4 different words.
I have to know 4 different.
And I barely speak English.
Chain stores when I go to your country. No, when I did Australia, I just came out and I was like, Arnar! And then I called everyone a cunt and they were like, like Australia's shout out to Australia, the best
shout
people on the planet.
I can't wait to go. I want to
so
move
what
there.
I'm all about, like, and this is going to seem cheesy, but it's yeah. really not. I make fun of myself for making vision boards, but I started mm-hmm. making them. And then I realized that everything started to come true because yeah. I realized it was just a visual representation of me making a contract with myself of things I wanted to do.
Yep.
So I believe in audibly speaking it into fucking 100%, existence.
100%. I do too.
You're on the fucking rise. You're fucking crushing it. You're absolutely like balls to the wall on fire. Hannah, what's next? What do you want to do? It could be 10 years down the road. It could be the 5-year goal. Let's just talk.
Good question. Well, first of all, I completely agree with what you're saying. I was thinking about it walking here, how like it's not even weird, like manifesting things into the universe. It's literally like unless you come up with what you want, it's not going to happen.
It's goal setting.
It's literally just like aim for something and you have a higher chance of doing it if you're aiming for it. But a lot of the time you're just like, let's see what the world wants for me. No,
no,
it's not good. That doesn't hit like that. Even like the way I got into stand up was I said I wanted to do video because I'd done sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
I just like started talking to people like I want to do video. And then I got this like freelance internship making funny videos for Betches, the media company, and started writing skits. But I'm very interested in getting into acting, even though I'm kind of scared about memorizing lines. That's just my own.
Well, you already memorized an hour, so you're going to be totally fine.
I know. It's just like, because I wrote it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know when they send like 8 pages and they're like, hey, can you do this by tomorrow? I'm like, cancel all my plans.
And people don't understand the self-tape. I mean, the self-tape will eventually destroy my marriage. I don't know how you and Des do it.
The respect I have
uh-huh.
for actors, because when I'm working on a joke, I'm at least going, getting paid $20 for a spot in New
right.
York City and getting laughs, where like the amount of work that actors do that go unpaid and unseen
yeah.
and you still like Des and I almost got divorced because he kept being like, you don't know the lines, go and learn them. And I go,
Take 10 and learn them.
I'm learning them right now. Do it again. Yeah. And then it was like a 4 minute thing. And apparently you can't do cuts, which like I still don't understand. I'm like, wouldn't you rather me just cut it than be like.
You're like, but if I'm on set, they say cut. So what are we doing here?
And then I got so nervous, like 3 minutes in, I would just say a random name, like that's not in the script. And he'd be like,
you're like, Anthony.
He's like, where'd you get Anthony from? Like, the name is Chris. You've never said Anthony before in your life. And I'm like, I just became nervous. So I now have my girl who like Des and I do not do self tapes together. Mm-hmm. Cause then I get nervous. I'll be like, can you stop looking at me like that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Jeff will like put too much like the Brooklyn accent on.
When he's acting.
Yeah. And then people are like, who are you reading with?
What mobster?
Yeah.
Well, like, where's he from originally?
He's from Westchester. So yeah.
Westchester.
Shout out the White Plains. Here's the funny thing though about doing the self tapes that we're like, oh, but, you know, I have so much respect for actors. Here's the thing. Real working actors don't fucking have to do self-tapes anymore. They're all like offer only. Like
I was recently talking to someone like famous and I had a chance to like ask them something. I was like, do you have any advice for like becoming an actor? And they were like, I haven't auditioned in 25 years. And I was like, thank you. Okay.
Do you know who Jillian Bell is? She's a fabulous comedic actress. She was on Workaholics.
Yes.
So she books everything I audition for. Shout out to Jillian Bell. Oh. I love you, Jillian, but I would just like to say publicly, I hope that you, I would just like your agent to call my agent and be like, she's already been offered this. I will do 65 self-tapes. I'll do callbacks. And then immediately the deadline article is Jillian Bell has booked this. And I'm like, fuck me.
Do you know what's so fucked up? I feel like there are so many actors in our generation that would have been bigger if one other person wasn't born.
Yeah. Well, mine's Jillian.
You're like, and if you want to send her some anthrax, that would be fun too.
I love her, but every time, I literally at the point where I'm like, I tell my team, I'm like, just tell me if she's even rooting for
women
this.
Women support women except Jillian Bell.
Except Jillian. You're killing me.
It sucks though, because we don't want to be typecasted, but like at the end of the day, they're going to put us in some kind of box.
Yeah.
That another girl.
But also we could play sisters. Yeah. So I'm hoping we do like a sister comedy.
A sister comedy.
Where we're like unhinged and like our dad's the worst.
You should literally text her and be like, hey, are you auditioning for this?
And then she'd be like, who's this?
Because you'll save me 8 hours and my marriage.
And my marriage.
And my full marriage.
What is your biggest takeaway from being married? How long have you guys been married?
We're like, I think hitting 2 years.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're kind of babies.
We are two, but we've been together. How long have y'all been together?
Like 2.5 years.
Oh my God.
But COVID 6 months is like dog years.
Yeah, but you did it quick. You knew.
You know, my parents got engaged in 6 months. So in my head, I always had this love story of like, I'm going to know immediately. So I'd be with a guy for like a year and a half and I'd be like, clearly I don't want to marry this guy.
Right.
So like it all happened really fast.
But I love that. I mean, the moment my husband walked into a bar in New York, I go, that's who I'm going to marry. Like I knew. And we said, I love you after like the third date. And now
Des and I were married by the second date. We didn't it was just like, we were married.
I was like, so this is it, right? Yeah. He was like, yeah. And we didn't, because of like, Jeff was finishing like grad school and all this shit. It was like 8 years down the road, but we were already like committed. And people didn't get it. They were like, we don't understand. You guys are long distance. I'm like, no, we're married. We're married.
I thought you guys were married already. No. Yeah. So then I was like, oh, this is fun. They get to have like a party about it. It's also, I think, I don't know, like, obviously your relationship in depth, but humor and like making fun of your relationship, I think is super important. And finding someone who's funny. I told myself I would never be with a stand-up comedian because they're insane, including myself. But something about Des is, maybe it's because he's like an Irish comedian or something's different, where he's a normal person who happens to do comedy.
Yeah.
Where like, I feel like that's like your husband, where like he's a normal person, but happens to be hilarious.
He happens to be hilarious. I don't know what he does for a living.
We don't know who he is.
Yeah, but he is funny. Jeff makes me laugh harder than anybody. I'm like, put me in the room with the funniest fucking bitch. And I'm telling you right now, Jeff makes me giggle hard.
I hate to say this to put pitmen against each other, but like, that's how I feel about my dad.
Yeah.
Where like my dad is the funniest. Like we were at the special taping and I'm getting my makeup done and all he's doing is making everyone laugh in the room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, if you could get 10 minutes together, we could have so much fun on tour.
I always say if my dad was still alive. Thank you for bringing up that trauma.
I am so sorry.
If my dad was still alive, he would be running security. He'd be flying us to shows. Oh. He would be like, he was a pilot for fun. Like he would be running the fucking, he'd be driving the tour bus. He would be running the whole fucking empire.
Yeah.
So it's actually probably better he's dead, because I would have been like, Dad, okay? Like chill the fuck out. But I'm glad you have your dad. That's fine. That's fine. <know? laughs>
No, you know what? I'm one of those people who like, I have daddy issues because my dad like
is fun,
loves me so
yeah,
much.
Loves
and,
you
like,
so much.
And he was my coach in tennis. Yeah, like, he thought that I should be, I'm the best. Uh-huh. So whenever I wasn't the best, I was like, I disappointed my mm-hmm. dad. And we're very similar as people. So I feel like when you were talking about your dad and your special, which was amazing, by the way, I felt like connected in that yeah. way. And then it's cool to see someone who had to go through that kind of loss, who's fucking just like keeps their head up and is.
Well, my dad also would literally, when I was living in LA, he would beg me not to do comedy. He would beg me. And it wasn't like, because he didn't want me to do it because I was passionate about it. He's like, I can't help you in this business. He was very successful in his own right. Mm. And he was like, I don't have connections, Heather. This is a scary business. I don't, like, he just was terrified for me. Mm-hmm. And then he would send me sweet messages all the time and be like, you're so brave. You're so brave. And I was like, I hope you're not saying I'm so brave because my jokes suck. But he never got to see me really have success. And that's yeah. been very bittersweet. So everything I do all the time, I mean, I always feel him like cheesy, like he's in my spirit. He's mm-hmm. But he does fucking haunt me.
But you know
me.
What's interesting?
Yeah.
I feel like he knew.
Oh, for sure.
Like he knew you were going to be huge. Mm. I have like, goosebumps. Yeah. Cause I had this thing where like I always wanted to win Wimbledon for my dad and yeah. I never did. So I felt like I always disappointed him. Mm-hmm. And like how many times to my face he could be like, I'm so proud of you. Mm-hmm. But it's funny now that I'm like getting things with comedy, I'm wondering like, oh, is he gonna now like love me more?
Right.
And his message to me was always like, oh, I've always been proud of you because of like how you deal with adversity, like how you right. treat people, like how you like move around your life. Like that's what dads really loved about
you.
He's
like, I'm proud of you, Hannah, because you're not a cunt.
So it's like, your dad, it would have been cool, but like, yeah. you already did the hard part, which is like, it's not like the Heather you were when you were coming up in LA with him was probably like so fucking cute. And like that was more impressive than you like selling out stuff now. It's like, right. yeah, you've already built it. But like the building blocks are a cool time.
They are a cool time. And I feel like I had such a great relationship with my dad that I have to be glass half full and be like, I had 27 years of the best years with the best
yeah.
dad.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I will never forget though. I had my first like showcase, big show in LA and my mom came out and I expected my dad to come and he didn't come to the show. And I was mm-hmm. like, why isn't dad here? And she's like, well, something came up. And my mom was like, he couldn't handle watching you do it because he was so afraid you'd never come home. Like, and it's a very weird thing because wow. my dad like just wanted me to like be in Atlanta, take over the business with him, like
yeah.
do the mortgage biz or whatever. And the irony of it now, he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
And I live in my childhood home and yeah. my office is his, like his office that I have in my house was his office. And I'm just like, it's just bizarre.
He was very connected to you mentally, yes. like in a yes. weird way.
And I think it's because, I don't know, he was an entrepreneur in his right. And my dad would always just say, I was proud. And
because he had to be brave.
Yes.
But he had to let go to let you be brave on your own, even though he yes. clearly wanted to help you as much as he could. It's one advice piece for marriage, which is yeah. like both of Dez's parents are dead, mm-hmm. which has been super nice. Yeah.
Wait till you see my next hour. When you see my next hour, you will also know that I feel the same way.
Wait, are his parents
no,
dead?
No, and that oh. it's
the opposite.
It's the opposite.
No, like, because yeah. I'll say stuff like, I was really close with my grandpa and I'll see, yeah. like, he loved like Lipton tea and I'll see Lipton tea and I'll be like, I miss my grandpa. Mm-hmm. And Dez is like, at least you fucking, both your parents are alive.
But yeah, can I tell you, Hannah, people who say like, but I was really close with my Nana. I'm like, she was fucking 90. I'm with Dez. I'm like, well, like, she lived a good life.
My grandpa was 94 and I was yeah. like, he was my everything. And mm-hmm. Dez is like, you need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't understand. But anyway, having him not have, I think it was Nikki Glaser actually who had a funny bit about like, I want to meet a guy whose mom is dead. Like every now and then we'll be in the car and I'm like, do you think your mom would have liked me? Yeah. And he's like, actually, I don't know. And I was
I'll tell you what, I'll tell you right now, she would have fucking hated you. Because I'll tell you, there is nothing that a mother-in-law loves less than a strong, independent, stand-up comedy female. Okay? Literally, there is nothing that they love less than you being successful. So
literally the holidays.
You're so lucky. I'm like, so jealous
on
of you right
Christmas,
now.
Christmas, we don't have to ask where we're going. No, we're going to my house with my family.
Nice.
And, you know, we'll acknowledge, I wish yeah. your parents
light
could
a
have
candle,
been here.
Light a pour a little glass of wine, you know, for the whole fam. But I do love when people cry about their grandparents. And I literally grind my teeth. I'm like, shut the
Heather,
fuck up.
Heather, I'm yeah. a mess when it comes to my grandpa mm-hmm. passing away.
Yeah, you need to stop.
I can't even bring it. Like, I'll see, like, a bird and I'm like, that's my grandpa. And yeah. I think I actually had to like sit down and work on it because everyone's like normal. Everyone's like, he lived a great life. And I was sobbing during everything. And I was like, why is no one else? And then I was full main character energy at his funeral. Like everyone was going around and I like came in a little late because I was like, And then finally they were like, does anyone else want to say anything? And I was like,
I thought you never asked.
And then I raised my hand. I was like, as his favorite person, this has been hard for me. But I think my grandpa was very funny. And I am my grandpa. Like, you know, when you look at someone and you're like, you're me.
I am my father.
Physically, I'm my father.
I am
I'm
my
grandpa.
Father to the T. Our laugh was the same. The way we handled nervous energy, the way we'd eat. Like,
my grandpa
the same.
And I were the same person. So I realized, like, I feel bad. I just wish everyone could have met this, like, hilarious, amazing guy that I put on such a pedestal. But, like, I realized, like, I'm doing it every day by being who I am because, like, I am my grandpa.
Yeah.
Like, we would look across the table. Oh, now I'm gonna get upset. But he would just make this like face with his eyebrow and I would like give him the rock eyebrow back and like no one would understand that we were like doing bits together all the time.
And you had your thing.
And we had our thing.
And now he's dead. But and you cannot talk about it publicly anymore.
No, I can't. But rest in peace, Grandpa. I also have two grandparents still alive.
See, okay, bitch. I have a dead father and no grandparents.
Yeah, I'm so
it's
fucking
a wrap on
I'm
your,
so selfish.
It's a wrap on your grief,
I'm gonna shut the fuck up. No, my husband called himself an orphan the other day. I was like, you're 48. You're not Annie. Like,
yeah.
You're not an orphan.
Well, technically, you are Daddy Warbucks. There's every other day, I literally, my mom's 76, but like so hot and healthy. But there are
days. She's an icon.
She sleeps kind of like a mummy with her mouth agape. And we were just in Miami for 48 hours together. And every 10 minutes, I was like, I did not sleep one night because I was checking her pulse. I was checking, like hovering over her, seeing if she was breathing. Like every day I check, I'm like, did she die? Did she die? Because if she's dead, I can't handle it. Like, I'm going to tell you this right now. The knock on wood, God forbid, the day Robin hits the deck, I'm done.
Oh, so
that's when I will retire.
I'm going to do a murder-suicide with my mom.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah. No, because I'm not going to...
You can't function.
My Dez is upset because, like, my mom and I are so close. He'll randomly just be like, when she dies, like, I don't know what we're going to do. And I go, oh, no, we're all dying.
Yeah,
when she dies, we're all dying together. We're going to do it together because no one's surviving without my mom. I can barely survive. So that's going
to
be healthy.
What will happen is when my mom finally dies, then Jeff's parents will finally be able to be like, guess what? We're here. And then I will commit suicide. I'm probably going to have to cut that out if I want my marriage to last. Oh, Hannah Banana, this is refreshing. It's so nice to talk to somebody who I feel like you're just fucking crushing it and you're doing it.
God,
and I'm
you.
So proud of you. And you know what? I find you so refreshing. And also, please tell Paige. I adore her.
Oh, we love you
so
much.
We haven't met, but she's such a fashion icon. Every day with the fucking outfits. Is she your one friend that bullies you about fashion? Because Raymond does that to me.
Oh, she like annihilates me.
Yeah.
But now we're at the point where she understands, like, I actually do have my own sense of fashion.
Uh-huh.
So it's very like, I would never touch that with a 10-foot pole, but I see what you were going for.
Right.
So her language is getting better.
Great. Raymond's always just like, okay. So we went with that. And I was like, it's the only thing that fucking fit at Talbot's.
No.
Shut the fuck up.
Literally.
And like, Raymond's a curvy girly. So I'm like, you should understand, Ray.
We also have completely different body types. Like, I joke. I was like, you have the body of a cricket and I have the body of like a beautiful pear. And I'm like, your shit would look insane on me and mine would look insane on you.
Uh-huh.
We've joked and like styled each other. I'm enjoying fashion, but the fashion world is scary. It's mean. It's not trying to like ruin any brand deals in the future, but like I've cried so many times over like getting an outfit for something because like it's we just want to we're also I'm like they put something on me the other day and I'm like, guys, I'm making queef jokes. I cannot make a serious queef joke in this fucking stupid outfit. And they were like, okay, we get it. And I'm like, I'm not just standing there and like being a piece of art. Like I have to be confident in myself.
The best is when brands, your stylist reach out and the brands don't want to send you anything. And I'm like, but I know they have extended sizing and they just don't send. That's why I did. Like I was an Old Navy girly. Okay.
Yes.
I did an Old Navy commercial. I'm obsessed with Old Navy. I put that on the vision board 10 years ago. And when I think when that happened, people were like, I was like, this is my brand. I stay in my lane. Do I want to go to the Met Gala? Sponsored by Old Navy. I do.
Yes.
Take 6,500 of those July 4th t-shirts.
Yes.
Sew them together and make me a fucking gown.
Yes.
Like I will constantly stay in my lane. If Versace wants to dress me, great. But when I tried to get dressed by very like fashion, like big houses.
Yeah.
And I tried to get a designer to dress me for my wedding.
Yeah.
They all said absolutely fucking not.
But you know what? It's so unfortunate because it's like.
Because I would wear it.
They
want to
have
good.
badass women yeah. wear their clothes.
Yeah.
And like, you are the most badass.
Thank you. I agree.
So it's no, but it's literally like,
hello, Valentino.
I want to see someone who's like confident, cool, and like fashion forward. And like, you are.
Yeah. But I'm all I'm saying is Anna Wintour, if you hear this,
yeah.
Hannah and I want to be invited through Old Navy.
We would
okay?
be co-correspondents on the red carpet.
We would do so well. We would do so well in Old Navy. We're just really, we're really pushing
gap.
For an Old Navy.
I'll do gap.
You'll do gap. It's the same family. We love that.
Game proud.
All right.
Well, I'm currently, what? I'm manifesting a croc deal.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I want to like design my own croc.
What do you think is like, would be on your ideal croc? Because I feel like what you have on right now is really fashion forward.
I wore this in Aspen.
Yeah, I would too.
And I think people complimented it. I don't remember anyone
it's
doing
got
it.
Fur. It's got fur, a it's platform.
It's platformy.
It's platformy.
It's platformy. I just feel like I think that like these insane heels are like helping the patriarchy because like we can't.
Yeah.
We can't move. We yeah. can't run. We can't, like, how are we going to beat the patriarchy if I can't even do a light jog?
I ordered $200 worth of these insole inserts for my heels after I did the red carpet. Because I said, I have never, like, my back's permanently fucked from wearing boots on stage. I have sciatica. I have a slip disc. I threw out my back.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fucked.
What's
so
that company like Dr. Scholl's? Dr. Scholl's.
I found this other company and somebody, we're going to Google it. It's like La Vie something.
Yeah.
And it is literally like a gel insert that you put on the top of the back of the heel. So like if you're wearing like a kitten heel, like that's bad. No, like kitten heels fucking hurt me.
The left lower back,
forget it,
is never good with
yeah.
because from the flying. Look at us. Look at it. But I feel like I want to be wearing geriatric shoes,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I really like the dad shoe era.
Yeah,
it's like comfortable and stylish.
My New Balances, greatest thing I've ever put on my foot.
Hoka. I love. Have you tried a Hoka?
No. Okay, bitch. I'm gonna tell you this right now. I will not.
Oh.
I refuse.
Oh.
I let me say. I have inserts in my Air Force Ones right now. No, I'm not a Hoka gal. I've said this before. It's a lot of nurses bouncing around.
Okay.
They deserve to wear the Hokas
because
they are on their feet saving lives.
Yes.
You and I don't fucking deserve the Hokas.
Okay.
That's a goofy fucking shoe. Hannah, I will do a lot of things. I'll do the splits and glitter, but I'm not wearing a fucking goofy shoe.
You go, unless you're saving lives.
You don't need to be in a Hoka. I will rock a croc with fur. That's a vibe. But a Hoka, you don't deserve a Hoka. No, you keep talking about your dead grandfather. We're done. It's a wrap.
That's so funny.
You don't deserve a Hoka.
I'm so sorry, Heather.
Yeah.
I'm so
Do
sorry.
Do you know CPR? If you don't know CPR, you don't deserve to be in a Hoka. Period.
I don't know CPR.
Yeah,
you're like on the plane. They're like, is there a doctor on the plane? They're like, she's wearing Hokas. And I'm like, no. I'm so sorry.
And they bounce. Everybody wears the Hokas. They just bounce around. I'm done. No, wear a sensible sneaker, even like the On Clouds. Like I have this thing about, you know, the On Cloud sneaker.
Yes.
If I sit, because, you know, I'm first class girly now. When I sit in first class, it is 65 men with like an ankle sock mm-hmm. and a fucking On Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, what happened to the no-show sock? Mm-hmm. Can we not help ourselves? It's men like 45 and up wearing an On Cloud and an ankle sock. And I told Jeff, he has On Clouds. They're very comfortable sneakers.
Yes.
But if you either roll up with a full tennis sock or a no-show. If not,
just,
I told him.
Just don't buy him them.
Just don't buy them.
But not to cause drama.
Yeah.
Do you ever like, they're calling first class and you're like, or you know that first class is the next one.
Yeah.
Because first they're doing military.
Yeah.
And important people. And
which sometimes I go up on military. If I'm in a camo jacket, I'm like, serve and protect. Yes.
Or they're like people who need help. And I'm like, can you?
Mentally,
what
yes.
What does that mean? So they're calling those people, you know, first class is next. But no one formally gets lined up for first class. Everyone just starts kind of like
being shifting.
Weird around it. And do you ever stand there and then the businessmen stand in front of you?
Hannah? Let me tell you what. It is the bane of my fucking existence.
Mm-hmm.
The guys in the Patagonia jacket, they will push their way in front. I go, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. I'm actually diamond. So I'm going to go before you.
And now, not to humble brag.
Yeah.
We are diamonds. I've put in the miles.
Yes.
This is, and I'm like, you become crazy with the airport because you do it every day.
Yeah.
Like I'm like high-fiving the clear people at LaGuardia. They're like, where's she going this weekend? But like when... There's no circumstances. Is it okay for me to be standing somewhere and you just to stand in front? Or there's the people that you can tell don't know what's going on. So you'll go, are you in line?
Because
I don't want to stand in front of them.
Right.
And they go, yeah. And then you don't want to be a bitch and be like, is it first class?
Yeah.
But then you won't say anything. And then they go first class and they are standing there. And I just go, it's.
Yeah. Sorry.
Mama,
was that main cabin?
Mama has to go.
Mama has pistachios and gummy bears waiting in seat 4C.
But no, the disrespect and the sexism that happens with the hierarchy of airplanes.
Of the medallion status.
And
is...
I'm dressed not to impress. I'm wearing my fur Crocs.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a stained sweatshirt.
Yeah.
And I'm wearing makeup from last night. I guess I don't look the part.
Can I tell you? I was on a flight with Mina Sorvino recently, and she had a, she took off her ponytail extension that was just like a rat's nest of hair, and she put it in her seat in front of her. And I was like, if Mina Sorvino, so like, she, I mean, she's like been nominated for like huge awards. I'm like, if she's fucking doing it, I'm taking my extensions out and I put them in the seat.
I want to channel Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not dressing to impress anyone.
Yeah.
I know the work I put into my job.
Mm-hmm.
And if I pay for that seat, I want it.
I am an old airline brat, so I do try and look a little put together, but it's because I'm afraid.
Do you wear jeans?
Fuck no.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't wear a jean, but I have a I live in some Spanx suits.
Okay,
like the, joggers, Spanx
very
joggers,
cute.
Where like I could pop a collar and be like, first class.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And like if you need to go to Lululemon after,
yeah, I could.
You
I
could do. You look like you could do Pilates, but you don't want to.
I really just look like I could maybe run like a PTA meeting.
Yeah,
like, comfortable. I'm not like exercising. But my grandfather was a big deal at Delta, so I kind of feel his energy.
Do you think
haunting
your
me.
Grandpa was like better than my grandpa?
I think
because I feel like the way you said that was kind of like.
I don't think he was better, but I definitely think if they were in a room, like, I'd like to see them fight. Captain Jack McMahon, he did save a flight, Hannah. He saved an airplane. So what did your grandfather do for a living?
You know, my grandpa actually was a basketball coach in Brooklyn. So he would like, he would like get kids out of jail and put them into, like, you know, all those basketball movies? Like, that was my grandpa.
Okay. Well, my grandfather probably knew the Wright brothers. So he was the king of aviation.
Okay. Well, my... Okay, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where do we find you on tour, Hannah? Wait, let's do a show where we just do, we only do 30 minutes together. And it's just, we both show up with a PowerPoint presentation and we have to like roast each other on each other's grandparents. Like, why is my grandpa better than yours? Actually, this is a good idea.
I go, your grandpa's ugly.
Yeah. Actually, your grandpa literally has no teeth. Suck my dick. Okay. Where can everybody find you, Hannah? Where, I mean, I could keep you here all day.
Oh my God. This is so much fun. I'm obsessed with you. I love you so much.
I love you.
TikTok, Instagrams, follow it. Giggly Squad. If you enjoy Heather's pod, you'll love Giggly Squad. I also have Burner Phone with my husband.
Which is fucking
very fun.
Amazing.
If you ever have the time, I could see you.
I'll come on anything. I will come on anything. I will write an insert for your book. If you're like,
oh, don't,
Hannah did
don't
all
tempt
this
me.
Fuck page.
Don't tempt me. Also, and yeah, I'm on tour. Go to hannahburn.com/shows. I still have two more months of touring where I'm going to a lot of places. So
great. And I really think that you should just change your name to just Hannah.
Yes.
I just think Hannah is, like you said, like Cher.
Yeah.
Just Hannah.
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 Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best people in the biz, Hannah. Please check her out. Follow her on all the things. I love you. I mean it. This was such a fun episode. And shout out to Hannah's grandpa. Actually, fuck him. No, I'm kidding. I'll see you later. Ciao, Bella. Arrivederci. See you later. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate us, and leave a review. And as always, follow me on Instagram at Heather K. McMahon. See you guys soon. Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.